I want you to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we're going to start this morning. We're looking at the subject of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. I've entitled the passage Christian Growth, and we're really going to go back to 2 Peter in just a minute. But when we think about it, we've gathered together as believers to worship our Savior, to be trained in a crib, and we want to say, okay, we who know Christ as Savior, we want to grow. As a child of God, how do we do this? What is involved? What is growth? Now, I just wanted to remind you that next week, this is just this morning, but next week, we actually look at the book of Titus. Now, we just finished 2 Timothy. This is Titus. This is Paul's letter to a young guy named Titus, and he writes to him. He's on the island of Crete to do something with churches there. But the book is incredible because it talks about leadership, and it talks about ministry, but it talks over and over about doing good works. Now, we're what we call the Free Grace Church, which means that we believe salvation is a gift. It's not works. We're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, that we're not justified by our works, but by faith and all of those things. And sometimes when you're a Free Grace Church, people say, oh, you guys, I don't care anything about works. All you talk about is the grace of God and how you're saved by grace through faith. You never talk about works. Well, we do talk about works, especially if the passages talk about works. And this whole passage this morning is growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But the book of Titus, a number of places, 4, 5, 6 times in these 3 short chapters in the book of Titus, he talks about you need to do good works. So as Christians, we need to do good. It has nothing to do with being saved or proving we're saved or staying saved, but we are to do good works. And then this fall, we're going to start the book of Daniel. Now, I've never done Daniel on Sunday morning. I've done Daniel on a Sunday night or maybe a different time because there's so much in there. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Not only are we going to see the character of Daniel and his friends, but we're going to see a whole bunch of the end time events because there's a whole bunch of prophecy in the book of Daniel talking about the big statue and all the beasts that come up out of the sea and all of those things. So there's a lot of great things there. So this fall, we're going to look at that. That'll be really, really exciting. Today, let's think about Christian growth. What is it? How do we grow? What are we to do? What's this all about? What we want to do is that we want to make disciples. That's what the purpose of our church is. Well, in order to make disciples, we got to have to be disciples. We have to grow and all of those things. So let's talk about what's all involved. Now, when we start, I wanted to bring up this subject, church growth. You hear it talked about all the time, church growth, how are churches growing, and how can we get churches to grow? There's a number of books that have written in recent years published about the area of church growth and things that people need to do. Here's one of some of the things. They talk about numbers, how many people are going to the church. They talk about the numbers, the programs, the activities, even the number of staffs. There's articles that say, how do you reach certain people? They even have articles that you need to target certain people in your area. In other words, you want to go look for a particular group of people to bring to your church. What is church growth? I think some have missed the mark. How does a church grow? We want our church to continue to grow. Well, how do we do that? And I want you to know something. It is not adding programs. It is not targeting a particular group of people. It is not advertising. The key to church growth is the growth of the individual member in the body, in that church. Church growth comes from inside out. As believers in the body grow, as we grow spiritually, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the church as a whole will grow. In fact, as we're becoming disciples of Christ, as we grow, in fact, the truth I mentioned a while ago, we must be disciples before we can make disciples. Our whole purpose is to make disciples, leading people to Christ and training and equipping them, and our church will grow. Before that happens, we have to grow. We have to grow spiritually. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The emphasis in the Bible is always on individual growth, not numerical growth. Now, they mention numerical growth in the book of Acts, saying 5,000 people were added to the church that day. But the emphasis isn't on how many people you got coming. It's, are the people growing? And if we're growing spiritually, individually, if we're growing spiritually, and we share our faith, and we disciple others, and we use our spiritual gifts, our body will grow. So how does a church grow? The key to a church growth is spiritual growth of each believer. Well, then the question would be, let me go back. The question would be then, how do we grow? How do we grow spiritually? You notice that in our lives, you look around and you just say, some people, it seemed like they're really growing as Christians, and then there's some people who have been Christians for years, and you can't tell whether they're a brand new Christian or they've been a Christian for years. You can't tell. Well, we want to grow. And part of the role as a pastor is to help the believers to grow in the ministry. Romans 8:29 actually says, here's the plan. The plan is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to become Christ-like. That's the growth. Each one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We want to be like him. That's the plan. Well, and that's the whole thing. Well, you see it in Ephesians. If you've been in our church for any length of time, you know our purpose is to make disciples. Our plan goes back to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This morning, I want you to look at verse 12, Ephesians 4, 12. We see what we're supposed to do. Look what it says. If we want to grow, we've got to equip the saints to do the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Notice verse 12, it says, for the equipment of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So if we're going to grow, he gives a description of the growth. Growth comes when believers equip each other to do ministry. Then he goes on to say, till we come, now watch, this is what spiritual growth is, till we come attain to the unity of the faith. When it says unity of faith, that means we are in agreement on what we believe, the faith, the body of truth, the scripture. We come to an idea of where we say, these are the big truths that we believe. He says, unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what he goes on to say. We're going to talk more about knowledge in just a few minutes because it says grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then notice what he goes on to say. Knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. That's spiritual growth. That's maturity. So the idea from the Bible is that we equip each other to do ministry so the body can grow, and we grow as we come to unity and knowledge and maturity. That's what it's all about. Then he says this. He says, I want you to understand the contrast. Look at verse 14. He says, so that we're no longer children tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. He says, we're not like little babies where we don't know what we believe. And one minute we say, I think this, and the next minute we say this. He says, no, I don't want you to be tossed back and forth. But in verse 15, he says, but when we speak the truth in love, and that's when you teach the Bible and you say what the Bible has to say and you speak the truth in love, it says, we are to grow up in all aspects, into Christ, who is the head. We grow up to be like Christ. This is our goal. The purpose is to make disciples. The plan is that we equip each of us, we equip each other to do the ministry so the body can grow, that we come to unity, maturity, and knowledge of the Son of God, so that we're not babies going back and forth, not knowing what we believe, but by speaking the truth in love, we grow up to be like Christ, because that's the plan, ultimate plan, to be like Jesus Christ. That's spiritual growth. And so the plan is to not be babies, but to grow, and that's the key. The growth as an individual ultimately results in growth in the body. What if every one of us in this room were leading people to Christ and training them, equipping them? Would the church grow numerically? It would. Now, when we talk in the Bible about growth, we're talking spiritual growth, but the outcome of spiritual growth will be numerical growth. Where some churches say, we got to get another program, we got to get this, we got to get this, see if we can break the 500 barrier, see if we can break this, let's have some special meeting which everybody brings a friend. I mean, they could do all kinds of things, gimmicks, to see if we can get more people in the door. But the Bible says, as you grow and mature and you equip believers to do ministry, the body will grow not only spiritually, but will grow numerically as well. So when we talk about church growth, we're talking about spiritual growth. I want you to turn to 2 Peter. This is where the verses that we read earlier, I want you to look at 2 Peter, and we're just going to just touch on these verses. We're not going to go into a huge amount of detail this morning. There's so much there. 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is the very end of the book. Verses 17 and 18 go together. And as I mentioned earlier, that he said, beloved, he's writing to believers. He said, listen, don't get messed up. Don't get confused. He said, be on your guard that you don't get confused by false teaching and fall away from the truth and stop growing as Christians. He says, don't do that, but grow, verse 18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter 3:18, we're really talking about growing grace and knowledge. Grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about grace this morning, here's what we're going to do. And we're going to go through it fairly quickly, but I want you to see this. When we talk about grace, we're going to talk about God's grace to us. And almost every song we sang this morning is all dealing with God's grace to us. God's amazing grace, right? But what about our grace to others? That's part of it as well. How do you treat fellow believers? How do you treat other people? We're going to see the grace. We're going to grow in grace, God's grace to us, our grace to others. And then it says grow in the knowledge. And when we talk about knowledge, we're talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ. We'll talk a little bit about what that means. But it also is talking about the knowledge of the Word of God. And so we're going to talk about those things as we go through this. By the way, you've got to have grace and knowledge. If you have grace by itself, you have license, which means you do anything you want to. Say, it doesn't matter. If you have knowledge by itself, you have legalism, which is just a bunch of rules. You've got to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at verse 18. But he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word grow there in the Greek literally is keep on growing. It's what they call a present imperative. He doesn't say grow. He says keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about grace. I love grace, don't you? We just sang a whole bunch of songs about grace. And he says, but grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about grace, grace is getting what we don't deserve. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us deserve to even be alive. None of us deserve anything. It is the grace of God. It is unmerited favor that he saves us. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We don't deserve to live the Christian life. We don't deserve to get to serve him. We don't deserve any aspect. Everything he does for us is grace. So grace is getting what we do not deserve. It's unmerited favor. We're going to look at these two aspects, God's grace to us and our grace to others. Let's talk about God's grace to us. Wow. This could go on for days and days and days, right? God's grace to us. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. I want you to do this. I want you to turn with me to Titus chapter 2. If you're in 2 Peter, just turn a few pages back toward the front of your Bible. This is the book we're going to be in next week. If your Bible should open to 2 Timothy, that's what we just finished. Well, right after 2 Timothy is Titus. And if you would look at Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 11, 12, and 13. And what we see there is God's grace to us. God's grace to us for our salvation. God's grace to us for our Christian life. God's grace to us for our future. When Brian prayed a while ago for the offering, he mentioned, he was actually quoting from Titus, this passage about God's grace is for salvation. God's grace is for the Christian life. God's grace is for the future. That's what God does. God deals with us totally in grace. Listen, don't ever say, give me justice, Lord. You don't want justice from God. God has already poured out his justice on his son, Jesus Christ. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We owe God death. If God gave us what we deserve, justice, we'd be separated forever. God did not give us justice. He poured out. He is a just God. He took his justice and he poured it out on his son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. So God showed us grace and mercy, and he poured out his justice on his son. So don't ever say to God, I want justice. He's a just God. He's going to make sure everything's going to be right in the long run. But just as far as dealing with us, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Look what he says, because when we think about Titus 2, 11, 12, and 13, salvation, Christian life, and future, look at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. See, that's how we have salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God. Then he says, beside that, he says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly life, that worldly desires to live righteously and godly in the present age. That's Christian life. And then look at verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our glory, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is God's grace for salvation, God's grace for Christian life, and God's grace for the future. You understand that we are saved by grace. The salvation that every one of us in this room enjoy is not because we've done something to get it. It's not because we deserved it. It's not because we were worthy in any way, shape, or form. We like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. We are fallen people, and God, in his grace, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, pay for our sins, wipe out the debt, and offer us a gift, the gift of eternal life. And by faith in Christ, we receive the gift of eternal life. God's plan of salvation is a gracious plan. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Understand, salvation is by grace. Understand that the Christian life is by grace. Do you know what God gives you in the Christian life, which you don't deserve? He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. He makes you a new creature. He gives you the Word of God. He gives you spiritual gifts. He puts you in the body of Christ. He gives you fellow believers. He gives you the opportunities. He gives you the power to carry out those opportunities. That's all the grace of God. The Christian life is all by the grace of God. And then finally, the future. The future's grace. We're looking for him to come. He could come at any second. He could come at any second. You need to have that in your mind as you go out these doors, that we don't know how long we have on this earth, because Jesus Christ could come, as 1 Thessalonians says. He'll descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. It could happen just like that, and it can happen at any time. So be excited about that, because that's the grace of God. He doesn't have to come get us. He doesn't have to let us live with him forever. But that's his plan. So when we think about grace, God's grace to us. Go back, if you would, to 2 Peter. God's grace to us. And so he says, grow in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's God's grace to us. But what about our grace to others? Because I think we just need to talk about that for a minute. Because how do we deal with other people? Do we show grace to them? In the same way that God shows grace to us, how many times have we done wrong to God and he show us his grace and he sent his son to deal with it? You can say, here's all my sins, Lord. And Jesus and God says, I put them all on Jesus. By my grace to you, you're not accountable for these. I've put them on Christ and it's been paid for. The grace of God. Well, how do we deal with other people? Somebody offends us. Somebody says something we don't like. They're not our friends anymore. We don't even talk to them. Do we show grace to others? We say, they don't deserve it. Did we deserve the grace of God? No. And let me say something to you. People don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the grace of God, and we don't deserve grace from each other. But we don't show grace to each other because we deserve it. We show grace to each other because we love each other. Because he said, you love others. He said that people will see that you belong to me by your love for one another. So how do you treat other people in the body of Christ? How do you treat people that are different from you? How do you treat people who offend you? Let me tell you, if you're around any of us any length of time, we're all going to offend you, and we're going to hurt your feelings one way or another. We're fallen people. We make mistakes. Let me say it this way. Give us a break. Give each other a break. We're fallen people. How do we deal with each other? Do we show love and forgiveness and kindness? Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Do we show do we walk in love just as Christ loved us? Do we show the fruit of the Spirit, of love, of joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and all of those things? Do we do that? Do we walk in love? How do we deal with people? Are we growing in grace to others? How do you treat each other? How do you treat the person that you don't agree with? Do you love them? Show grace in our lives. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, as I have loved you. He says, there's a new commandment I give you. Love others as I have loved you. So we want to grow in grace. We want to understand God's grace to us. We want to understand our grace to others. Grace is the key in our lives and how we relate to God and how we relate to others. So if we look at our passage, he says, but grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he says also, but grow in knowledge. Knowledge. When we say knowledge, that, you know, we live in a university town, so that's where all the smart people are. The professors, everybody's got knowledge. You go on the campus, there's knowledge. But when he says grow in the grace and knowledge, we really want to think about two areas. We want to talk about knowledge of God in Christ, that's how we'll put it, but then knowledge of the Word of God. Let's start with growing the grace, growing the knowledge of our God and of Christ. Notice he didn't say grow in knowledge about him. They were talking about knowing him. See, there's two ways to know him. You can know facts about him. You can know all kind of facts. You can say, oh yeah, born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth, and he did this. And when he was about 30 years old, he did this, and his ministry was three and a half years. And he did about 35 miracles, and he did 7 of them in the gospel. I mean, you could just know all the facts about Jesus. But then you can know him also as Savior. You can understand that he died for you and paid for sin and rose again. And you can know him as your Savior who has given to you eternal life. But then there's another aspect. you can know him. As Paul says in Philippians, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He's not talking about knowing him as Savior. Paul knew Christ as Savior a long time ago. When he writes Philippians, he's in prison. He's been a Christian for 30-something years. He's saying, I want to know him. And we're talking about know him in an experiential way. We're talking about knowing him in a fellowship way. And that's why Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. How in the world can we know God in that fellowship way? Well, it's we got to spend time with him. That's prayer and reading the word. This is what we call a quiet time. Let me just say this to you. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, you need a time. And I'm going to say it even though it's hard, you need a time every day. Now, you can't, may not can do it every day, and sometimes every now and then something comes and blocks me. I usually get up really early. I get to the church by 5. That's when I have my quiet time. That's when I spend time with the Lord. That's, I'm not studying for Sunday morning. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm writing things down. I'm talking to him. I'm reading the Psalms. This is my quiet time. I want to grow in knowing him. And I'm not planning this as a message. I'm saying I just want to know him. I want to read the passages. I want to read the Gospels over and over. I want to read this book. I want to go back to the Old Testament. I just want to read. I want to pray. I want to write down. I want to pray for people. I want to know him. Every one of us in this room, you ought to have a time. And I'm going to say it in the hard way. You ought to have a time every day that you, and it may be some days you can do it early and some days you can do it late. Some days you can do it at lunch. Maybe you can do it the same time every day. Maybe there's a few days you can't do it at all. But the bottom line is you need to develop a time in which you meet with your Savior so that you can know him. He says, I want to grow in the knowledge of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's not talking about facts about him. He's talking about knowing him. Make that the key in your life. Take time to pray and to read and to talk to him. And and you can start with simple. Say, I'm going to do it for 10 minutes. I remember the first time I ever sat down, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for 20 minutes without stopping. So I prayed. I named everybody I could name. I looked over, 2 minutes had passed. You know, I thought, what in the world? And see, sometimes, so start. Don't start by saying, I'm going to have an hour every day. Look, just say, I'm going to have 10 minutes. I'm going to get up, and for 10 minutes, I'm going to read the proverb of the day. And then I'm going to start reading maybe Titus. I'm going to start reading Titus over and over so I can see how it flows. So on Sunday mornings, I'll begin to understand the book as we go through it. And then maybe write out your prayers like a journal, or just thank him, right? Maybe just every day say, I'm going to list all the things today I'm thankful for. Just spend time with him every day so you can grow in the knowledge of our Savior. But then there's a second thing, and that's growing in the Word. And that's the knowledge of the Word of God. And that's where you know what you believe and why you believe it. That's why the First Peter passage says, sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart and be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you. Be ready to defend what you believe. If I said, do you believe that salvation is by faith? You say, yeah. I say, show me from the Bible. And I say, when you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. Are you saved and saved forever? And you say, yeah. I say, show me from the Bible. If I say that we are all in the body of Christ when we trust in Jesus, you say, yeah. I say, show me from the Bible. Can you show from the Bible why you believe what you believe? That's important to be able to do that. That's how you grow in the knowledge. You understand that. You know what the books are about. You understand the timeline. You see the truth. You understand about salvation and the Christian life and all of those things. People, there's a saying that we got more Bibles and less knowledge than we've ever had. They did a quiz that a guy who's a teacher, and this was, by the way, is in a Christian school, so what he decided to do was ask his students some basic Bible questions. So he asked his students, who wrote the Gospels? And several of them put Matthew, Mark, Luther, and David. Okay? When they said, who built the ark? Moses. Who killed the giant? Daniel. Listen, we're talking about basic knowledge of the Bible. So many Christians can't go to the scripture to show what they believe about the gospel and salvation. Could you go to 1 Corinthians and show that the gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ and the response is faith in him? Could you be able to do that? We got to be able to do that. That's why we need to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. How do we do that? Well, as a newborn babe, you desire to sincere miracle of the word that you may grow. Get into the scripture, study it. We got classes. We got what we call the Stillwater Bible Institute every Wednesday nights. We got classes on New Testament survey and a 412 and becoming a disciple maker and a ladies class. We got all kind of things that you can get into scripture. You can have your own Bible study times. You can do all kind of things. 2 Timothy says to dig the word. Be diligent to dig the word so you can rightly divide it, so you can handle accurately the word of God. You're responsible to do this, by the way. You know, I can say it all the time up here and say, yeah, you need to get into the Bible study for yourself. But you are responsible to get in the Bible, study it, and know it so you can defend it. You're responsible to do that, not just me. So we've seen this morning grace and knowledge. Grace, God's grace to us and our grace to others. We see knowledge of the word of our Savior and knowledge of the word of God. How do we do this? I thought of three things, three big things just for you to think about. How do we do this? Number one is make a decision on who you're going to serve. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as living sacrifices. You say to God, take my life. And let me serve you. Let me not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, of our minds. You make a decision. Who are you going to live for? Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Because the old song, everybody got to serve somebody. That's true. Either you're serving yourself or you're serving God. Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? It's a decision that you're, you know, I always say this. This is a quote. It says, if you're not consciously being transformed by the word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to this world. So if you're going to have to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? You want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? You got to make a decision. The second thing is this. You got to make a decision on how you're going to live. Ephesians 4, I just want to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But this is talking about putting off the old and putting on the new. He's saying basically, put off the old life and put on the new life. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. And he says, in reference to your former manner of life, which is corrupted, put it off, lay aside, get rid of it. And then he says, and put on your new self, which is created in the likeness of God. You're a child of God. He's basically saying, make a decision that you're going to put off the old life. And you go, listen, the old life doesn't go away. You got the flesh. You got the natural bent to sin. It's pulling on us all the time. We have to come to a point where we say, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I want to live as a new creation in Christ, not like the old self. And that's a decision. And it's made daily. And last but not least, make a decision that you're going to grow, that you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that you're going to be like Christ, that you're going to see what 2 Peter has to say, and you're going to understand God's grace to us and our grace to others. We're going to understand what it means to know him and what it means to know his word. So what have we seen? Church growth happens as believers grow spiritually. That we're to grow in grace and knowledge, and God's grace to us and our grace to others, and our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the word. And we need to make some decisions because we want to become mature people. And I guarantee you, if we become mature people, the church even numerically would grow. If we become mature people, we're growing spiritually as a church, we'll also grow the other way. Let me give you some applications. First of all, let's make a decision that we're going to serve Jesus Christ. Let's do it. Let's decide it. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer your life. If you've never come to the point in your life, now we're talking to Christians. We're not talking about, this is not salvation. Salvation is a gift. Salvation costs you nothing. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You're saved when you trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. We're talking about Christians who have eternal life. We're talking about, you got to have to make a decision that you're going to live for Jesus Christ. You're going to serve him. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 is you offer your life. Make that decision that you're going to serve Jesus Christ. The second decision is to make a decision that you're going to live for Jesus Christ. And that's the Ephesians. Put off the old and put on the new. Make that decision. That's what you're going to do. And last but not least, make the decision that we will grow to be like Christ. 2 Peter 3, we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Let's grow from the inside out. As believers grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and as we grow individually, and spiritually, may our church grow, not only spiritually, but even numerically.